the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Yes, a beautiful Thursday it is, and one that we need to remember. Did you know that today being Blessed Frederick Ozanam's
Ozanam.
His feast day.
Ozanam.
Ozanam.
Yep, we're going to have a tough time with that one, dude. I can tell.
But he's the founder of St. Vincent de Paul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did y'all know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
Yes, I did know that.
You did know that. I did.
The Ozanam Inn in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Ozanam. Shelter.
Very good. Wonderful. So we're going to offer up a prayer to get our show started this morning in that regard. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Tender God, refuge of the poor, you filled St. Vincent de Paul with the strength of the apostles to work for the salvation of the poor and the instruction of the clergy. May we who follow the example of his life be driven by unceasing charity to continue the mission of your Son in this world. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Blessed Frederick.
I wonder how long it's going to take to get him to be a saint.
Ozanam. I would like to know. We'll find out when he was consecrated.
Okay.
Or canonized.
All right.
Yes. Boom. Gabby? Oh, Gabby's not there.
I think John Paul II, he had a lot to do with it.
Oh, he did? Okay, it was a recent canonization.
I think.
Okay.
We'll find out more at Saint of the Day.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, we'll follow up on that. And then, then shortly we're going to be talking to Rhonda Grunwald. She's founder of Vocations Ministry. She's going to talk about ways we can promote vocations this fall. And then David Dawson Jr., I know that guy, director of the Office of Parish Support in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. He's going to talk about the dynamics surrounding serving our families, especially at meal times. That's interesting. Serving each other, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
And then Kathleen Higgins, I believe she's coming in today. She's the director of Youth and Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, talking about the ways to bring people to Eucharistic devotion. And I guess that means adoration.
A lot of ways to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, especially young people, which is,
yeah.
I'm seeing more and more young people do that, Damien, which is, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, there's a new movement, and I'm excited about it.
It gives me hope.
Yeah. Well, this won't give you hope.
Uh-oh.
It appears triple-digit highs have not left us as we end the first week of September. That's right. High today, 101, folks, with a 40% chance of rain. And that rain could keep us from seeing 100-plus temperatures. So let's hope we get a little bit of that. Tomorrow, we'll be back into the mid-90s with a high of 94 expected. And still a 40% chance of rain in the forecast. The weekend looking pretty good. There's only a 30% chance of rain. That's going to be Saturday morning. But things should clear up for Saturday afternoon's football games.
Ooh.
In particular, 20th-ranked Ole Miss will come to Yulman Stadium in New Orleans to take on the Tulane Green Wave. They're ranked 24th. Ought to be a good showdown, to say the least.
Yes.
And, of course, LSU and Grambling play Saturday night at 6:30 in Tiger Stadium. So we should have good weather for Saturday afternoon and evening and all the way through Sunday. Temperatures in and around the area, the high right now in the Crescent City, it's 81. Elsewhere, 77 in Covington as well as Houma-Thibodaux. Gulfport reporting 78 degrees, and in Baton Rouge, it's 79. It's 5 after the hour on this Thursday morning. It's Wake Up.
Music.
Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 5. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel recalls Pope John Paul the Great's inspiring apostolic letter, which greeted the new millennium and called all Catholics to enthusiastically embrace a new evangelization. Listen to his words. At the beginning of the new millennium, and at the close of the Great Jubilee, during which we celebrated the 2000th anniversary of the birth of Jesus, and a new stage of the Church's journey begins, our heart rings out with the words of Jesus when one day, after speaking to the crowds from Simon's boat, he invited the apostles to put out into the deep for a catch. Peter and his first companions trusted Jesus' words and cast their nets, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Subsequently, the Pope challenged each of us with these words, "Do not be afraid. Do not be satisfied with mediocrity. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, few of us are called to put out into the deep of the poorest of the poor like Mother Teresa, nor are most of us called to enter the foreign mission field. However, there are two vital things we can and must do immediately. One, we can make a serious commitment to holiness. At the World Youth Day in Rio, 3,000 young men made the decision to enter the priesthood, and 2,000 young women made a choice to enter religious life. Countless men and women also decided to commit their lives to Christ while living as lay persons. Similar decisions for Christ were made at a gigantic rally in Poland. Well, why not us? Two, let's get serious about prayer. St. Paul commanded the Ephesians, "Pray at all times in the Spirit." In his first letter to the Thessalonians, he charged, "Pray constantly." And St. Paul particularly challenged us men, quote, "I desire then that in every place the men should pray." Our Blessed Mother asks us to pray the rosary daily. Is that too much to give to God? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. 11 after the hour on this Thursday morning, you're listening to Wake Up. We're so glad you could join us. Number of events we want to share with you that you may be interested in attending. The Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, presented by Dr. Brant Petrie at Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. You know, Pope Francis declared the second year of the three-year Eucharistic revival to focus on local church parish activities, and the Eucharist is what brings us all together on a weekly and in many cases daily basis. Would you like to learn more about the Eucharist in the book Study of the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist by Dr. Brant Petrie? Well, you can. Even though the lessons began just Tuesday of this week, It's going to have another one on September 19th. They meet at the St. John Room at Most Blessed Sacrament, and it goes from 9:30 to 11 a.m., and it's every other Tuesday. The next one, as I said, September 19th, and then there'll be two in October and two in November. If you want more info, go to ccmedia.live.
Definitely. Well, the Woman's Prayer Group for Lexio Divina is a traditional Catholic practice of praying with the Holy Scriptures. The main goal is to make time to listen and allow God's Word to guide you. In addition, the Woman's Prayer Group will again be using the book Inviting God In by Joyce Rupp. Meetings will be held in the Ministry Center every other Friday from 9:15 to 11:30, and the first meeting starts tomorrow. So you can go to ccmedia.live to take a look at all of the meetings starting from September 8th through February 16th of 2024. So take a look at those at our website.
And the Blue Rose Ball benefiting St. Michael's Special School will take place at 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 16th. At the Hyatt Regency Hotel in New Orleans. And for more information on that, you can go to ccmedia.live. What a special event for a very, very good cause. That's an awesome school.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. That Man Is You's men's program begins September 8th, which happens to be tomorrow. It's an interactive men's program at St. Catherine's Siena, and it's going to be every Friday beginning at 6 a.m. At 6 a.m. In the Melanson Center. And the program addresses the pressures and temptations men are faced with in our modern culture by harmonizing current social and medical science, church teachings, and the wisdom of the saints to develop the vision of men in today's world where we can become fully alive. I think Dave and I and a number of others have attended That Man Is You at different church parishes.
Yes.
This is a good one. If you've never attended, this is your opportunity. Again, tomorrow at 6 a.m., St. Catherine of Siena.
It's wonderful. Breakfast, too.
In Metairie.
Metairie. Okay. Oh. All right. St. Alphonsus in Greenville Springs is having their adult back-to-school dance Friday Night Lights on September 15th. What a weekend coming up. Beginning at 6:30 p.m., there's going to be great music and a great way to enjoy an evening with your significant other. It's a date night. Go to ccmedia.live once again for more info.
Great. Download our free app real quick. You can go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search Catholic Community Radio and listen to us on the go.
All right, we are on the go. It's 15 after the hour, and we've got more coming your way. Wake Up's just getting started. Hopefully you are too.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 7th. Today we celebrate Blessed Frederick Ozanam. Born in France in 1813, Frederick Ozanam could have pursued a career as a lawyer, a literary scholar, or a teacher. Instead, at age 20, he founded a religious association of laypersons devoted to serving the poor. Such an organization was badly needed in and around Paris, where poverty thrived in the early stages of the Industrial Revolution. Soon, the St. Vincent de Paul Society had spread throughout Europe. Frederick was not content with simply serving the poor. He started a newspaper dedicated to securing justice for the poor and the working classes. His fellow Catholics, however, did not always appreciate the challenging tone of his writings. In 1853, Frederick died, leaving behind his wife and daughter. At his funeral, he was described as one of those privileged creatures who came direct from the hand of God, in whom God joins tenderness to genius to enkindle the world. Frederick Ozanam was beatified by Pope John Paul II at the Paris World Youth Day celebration in 1997. Today, the St. Vincent de Paul Society has close to 1 million members in more than 130 countries. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
All righty, folks, 19 after the hour, Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, all with you as we move through this Thursday morning. And with us now, our first guest is Rhonda Grenwall. She is founder of Vocation Ministry, here to talk about ways we can promote vocations this fall. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Damian. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you, and I don't know if you know, but I'm sure you do. Today is International Have a Beer with Your Priest Day.
Oh, boy. Really?
That's one way to get to know your priest.
Well, all right.
Isn't that great?
You know, that pretty much is the best recruiting
you can
do.
There's one.
Yeah. That's one, and we're going to talk about a number of ways before the next 10 minutes are up. But yeah. I thought that was a great way to get started. So, hey, if you have a chance, even if you can't take the priest out to have a beer with him somewhere, go to the rectory and bring a six-pack. What the heck? I think it's a great idea. Make sure it's cold, though, okay? All right, so Rhonda, let's jump into this. Vocation ministry, it sounds pretty generic, but it really has a primary focus, doesn't it?
Oops. I think we may have...
Did she run off and go grab a beer with her priest?
She
must have. Well, nothing wrong with having a cold one this early, I guess.
We will call her right back.
Yeah, sure we will. But in the meantime, there are a lot of ways you can really talk to your priest and show him your appreciation. And that's really kind of what we want to talk about this morning as well. You know, Priesthood Sunday is going to be September 24th. I don't know if y'all knew that.
I did not know that, so that must be the Good Shepherd Gospel, I guess.
It's the last, I guess, Sunday of the month where we could focus on just sharing with your priest mm-hmm. some different ways. I know when in the past, as a member of the Sarah Club here in Baton Rouge, we did a number of things to show our priests our appreciation.
I think it's another thing that we do need to do is there's a lot of young men, and we see them at Mass and such, and there's a lot of young men that we can approach. I know you've done it. I know I have done it, to come up and say, have you ever thought about being a priest? I see you in church all the time. Mm-hmm. I see how devout you are. I see you coming to daily Mass.
Right.
You know, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? You know, mm-hmm. some have. Some have pretty much said, oh, heck no.
I think it's important to also tell our priests that we appreciate them and they're doing a great job, especially our parish priests are stretched so thin and probably are the only ones at the parish, especially these big parishes that are so diverse in activities and different events going on, just saying, hey, I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. Thank you for all that you do. Can I take you out to lunch or dinner? Would you like a coffee? Something like that. So I don't think they would turn down a lunch or a dinner. To say, I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And that's the way we need to focus on this. So mm-hmm. yep. Rhonda mm-hmm. is back with us. So Rhonda, as I was saying before, Ma Bell or someone disconnected us.
Wow.
You remember Ma Bell.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I could refer to that. That way Rhonda. Nobody will get mad. But they know what we're talking about.
Yes.
So Rhonda, what are some ways to focus on appreciating our priest?
So we have a lot of opportunities to do that, and we should do it more often. Like, do we really need a day, Priesthood Sunday, that's coming up? It's always the last Sunday of September.
All right.
You know, you would think, do we really need a day called Priesthood Sunday to say thank you to our priests? But it's kind of like Valentine's Day. I look at it like that. Like, do you need Valentine's Day to say I love you?
That's a good point. Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, you don't. You should say it more often. But Valentine's Day helps. It focuses everybody, gives them an intention. And so Priesthood Sunday is a great opportunity to do that. And this could be fun. This does not have to be over the top. Really, it is guiding parishioners to know they should be grateful.
Yeah.
And to understand, if we do not have priests, we do not have the Eucharist. And we don't have the Eucharist, we do not have the church.
Amen.
Yep.
And our priests do a lot for us.
So what are some ways? I like the idea of getting, if you have a family, getting the children involved as well, not just the one of the parents. Oh, here's a gift card, Father. Happy Priest Day or something of that nature. You know what I'm getting at. It kind of make it special. How can we go about doing that, bringing the kids in?
Well, we have a lot of resources at vocationministry.com for families, teachers, to to download like a Dear Father letter, mm-hmm. and it has Priesthood Sunday on it, and it's a perfect place for kids to draw a picture or to, and you don't even need that form. Anybody could pull out a piece of paper and have their kid draw something, say why Father Mark is so great.
Right.
You know, that's the title, Why Father Mark is So Great, and they are drawing something, or writing a letter, depending on the age. So yes, getting them involved. What about the family taking a short video of saying, we love you, Father Mark, and sending it?
Yeah.
I mean, it does it. So again, not hard. All these simple things make a big impact, because you know what the priest is hearing almost every Sunday, Father, the toilet's leaking.
Yeah.
Father,
yeah.
the rain's coming through the roof.
Yeah.
Father, your homily is just so short. You know, I don't think they're hearing that, the short homily.
I know you were doing.
You know, they are getting a lot of
tongue in cheek there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Yes.
So when they go to the website, well, first of all, what is the website so they can go and look at all the various ideas that you offer?
So vocationministry.com is the website, and if for example you're at a parish and you want to build up a culture of vocations, you go to the parish tab is for you. If you're at a Catholic school or a catechist, you would go to education, and then you drop down to phase one, like step one, what do you do first?
Mm-hmm.
And the first things you're going to find is the calendar, all the calendar days we promote vocations. So Priesthood Sunday is going to be right there at the top. And you click on that, and you'll get the resources you need. So vocationministry.com.
How important is it to pray for our priest? Because I think that's often overlooked.
Oh, sure. And I, you know, when I started this work in my own parish in 2011, our priest said every aspect of our work should have some part of prayer. So even for Priesthood Sunday, the first thing we did was first activity was Priesthood Sunday, and what do? We had a prayer drive for our priest. That's affirmation in and of itself. So saying you're grateful and saying the words thank you and getting something to them is wonderful, but you know what they would love to hear is, Father, I just offered Mass for you.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I just offered my holy hour for you. Father, I just said the rosary for you. I will continue to pray for you. And that's going to give them more affirmation than anything else. So keep in mind that, and especially the kids, like if you all, you know, kneel down after Mass and say a Hail Mary for your priest and then tell him that we're all just praying for you, Father, it's going to melt his heart and just lift him up.
Yeah.
Nice.
And another thing that's come to mind is offer to help them, because they're very busy. Our priests are over inundated trying to run church parishes on their own at this point. We don't have enough priests, as we all know. And, you know, offering to help, just running an errand or two for them, if you've got time, I think that's a gift in itself.
Yeah, I think at the end of Mass and saying, Father, I would love to help you in some way. Do you need anything?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and offered enough that they finally give in. Many times our priests are like, no, I'm your spiritual father. I want to take this on for you. And it takes a while to break down that, you know, that they will take help.
Yeah.
So offer it enough that they say, you know, I really do need help putting all the bulletins together. Because I've been coming because our secretary's not here and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
So ask them, how can you help? And I think that would be great affirmation. Also, we didn't talk about offering sacrifices and fasting for your priest.
Oh, wow.
I know that this isn't talked about much anymore. You know, we don't like to suffer in this society.
Mm.
But willingly taking on sacrifices and willingly fasting for your priest is going to bring a lot of good fruit.
Yeah,
wow.
You bet. And, you know, let them know you have their back and save the drama for your mama, you know?
Ah,
Yeah, don't let your kids. You're the only thing you ever say about your priest is complaining about them on the way home.
That's
from
that. All they ever hear, from what I understand. And they've not told me that, but there are a number of deacons that I know who work with priests, and they say, "My Lord, the complaints that they get day in and day out is unbelievable." That's stressful after a while. I mean, that can give you a negative attitude rather quickly.
Yeah.
Sure.
We didn't go to seminary, but we all think we know exactly what a priest should be doing every day.
Isn't that the truth?
And how they should be saying it.
Yeah.
They went to 8 years of school and prayerful discernment on all of this, but we have all the answers.
That's right.
Right.
And so another reason why they need prayer, right, is to be able to discern what complaints should be listened to and what should not.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's why they got to have a good support staff. And I think if every priest had a deacon on staff as well, and that's where we as lay people could come in and enhance our vocation, to help our priest. In the final 30 seconds, Rhonda, are there some things that we can pick up on to encourage our young men to become priests? I'm talking about young. And at what age should we start at this day and age?
Sure. 40% of the newly ordained year after year say they heard the call between 6 and 13 years of age.
My goodness.
So it is not too young to say, "I see you as a leader. I see that you're prayerful. Have you ever thought God may be calling you to be a priest?"
Unbelievable.
And if they say no, say, "That's okay, Johnny. God's got a plan. I'll pray for you. God bless you."
Well, God bless you, Rhonda Grunwald. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Go to vocationministry.com to learn more. We'll have more Wake Up coming up in a minute.
It is 35 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Our next guest is David Dawson, Jr. David is the director of the Office of Parish Support of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Are you doing okay?
We are doing great, and moving on, this is such a great topic we're going to be discussing today. Every Thursday, we talk about marriage and family life with you, and today's topic is no different. We'll be touching on the dynamics surrounding serving our families, especially at meal times. Okay, I'm taking notes. What do you have for us?
So this is one thing that I've been convicted of recently. As you can imagine, mealtimes here are a bit of a process. We've got 9 kids, 15 down to 1. And so we've got, it's like a restaurant. We're serving a giant table. We've got to have a system. Otherwise, it doesn't work. The system has to be, things have to be in the right place at the right time. Otherwise, everything's chaotic. So we got little kids who are trying to get them to play their role and be a team player. But, they don't always do that. And the older ones, a lot of times don't want to play the game. So it can be tough, but what happens is I get into coach mode, and we're like, all right, what needs to get done? Let's get the system moving, because otherwise this is going to be rough. And if I don't, keep things together, if stuff's not on time, and I think this is not just for us. I think this is for most families that when it comes to trying to get everybody fed, it's a tour. It's a task. And we're moving, and we're trying to push things along, shouting out orders, or we're just getting through it. And even if I'm not doing that, I'm kind of resenting the fact that this has to happen. I'm trying to put in the least amount of effort to get the most amount of pleasure, the most amount of fruit from my labor. And so it can be, I think, a huge wasted opportunity, because what we're doing in this time is we're serving our family, right? Like, I'm serving the people that I love. And I'm not sure they feel that way all the time. They feel like cogs in a machine. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's something that I've been convicted of. That there's something else there, and I think that's something that if we can start making some decisions and seeing it differently, I think the key there is, like, what does it mean to serve? What are we trying to accomplish? Like, what's the win? It's not just getting food in the face and having everybody sit still and not make it a mess. You know what I mean?
Mm. I've seen it in Absolutely. Action, Gabby. I was I was actually babysitting for the majority of the gang one morning for breakfast. And Dave, you have another thing that you do. You put the guys in charge of certain chores at the table.
Oh, yeah.
It's the darndest thing. I thought I was in charge of breakfast. And your oldest comes up and says, I usually scramble the eggs. I'm like, oh, go ahead, you know. And it's like, I'll go set the table. He said, no, the other guy's got it. And I mean, like, oh, yeah. All right. So, I mean, I'm rather amazed. It's Gabby, I can tell you, it's a well-oiled machine, you know.
You know, Dave, you said one word or one phrase, and that was on time.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest challenge, at least for me, is after a long day and things kind of get pushed back, and now dinner is late, quote, that's late, because you have a time. I always try to get dinner done. We're at the table by 6:30, and if it's 7:30, I'm panicking, you know, but we're still going to be fed.
Right.
So, you know, any advice on that? Because it's busy. Yeah. It's fall. We have sports. We have school and work, too.
That's right. And we often get the question, like, how do you do it? People, you know, walk in the grocery store and church people are like, how do you do it? Just because they can't picture it. But really, I mean, the truth is, we're more on time now than we were when we had two kids. Like we'll show up 15 minutes early for church now, whereas when we had like one, two, or three kids, we were 15 minutes late every time. Yeah. And I think it's a matter of like because the amount of kids we have to come up with a system and to know how to prioritize and to kind of pre-plan. I think the thing, and this doesn't matter how many kids you have, if you want to set yourself up for success and being able to see this as like a service, to do it with love and be like, look, I'm giving you who because I love you and I want you to have good things. You know, that's going to come across in my attitude, the way that I'm speaking to them, my facial expressions, and even the type of food I'm making them, how long it takes me, am I rushing? Mm. Am I like, oh my God, all right, go. So what that takes is I've got to be thinking about this way ahead of time and thinking about like, okay, at what point do I need to start moving towards that? And what that means is what point do I need to stop doing other things? That to me is the hardest part. Mm. If I'm going to love my family well, that means I've got to stop doing other things in time to do that well. Like I got to stop work. I got to get home at a certain time. I've got to stop. The TV's got to be turned off, right? I got to stop trying to get this other task done. Is it important? Yes. Do we need to get the laundry done? Of course we do. But if it's going to be at the cost of treating my kids like they're burdens, then it's not worth it, right? The laundry can actually get done later. Supper cannot. You know what I'm saying? So those are the kind of decisions that we end up making. Like this is important to clean. Right, I'm in the middle of this cleaning project and I'm making good progress and it feels satisfying, yet it's time. I got to put this down, you know. So there's certain sacrifices we make so that experience of our kids being served by us can be a positive one and well received.
Absolutely. No, you make a great point. And maybe looking at the recipe or the meal that you're going to be making later that day and just kind of planning, okay, I need to start at this time and I need to get this ready at this time. Or maybe if things get a little hectic, you can switch things up and it's okay saying, you know what, frozen pizza is going to cut it tonight and everyone's still going to live tonight. So, but things are getting pushed back, you know?
That's right. Yeah. And sometimes meal planning, giving yourself a few days where it's not going to be that hard is important. Mm-hmm. We do breakfast for dinner at least once a week because it's fun and it's easy and it's quick, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to get vegetables, but, you know, they're going to survive. They get vegetables the rest of the week, you know, just because it's going to give everybody a break. But, yeah, you got to be realistic for sure.
Dave, talk about having the kids help in the kitchen. Now, that can be a task in itself and require a lot of patience, but it is so rewarding.
Right. Yeah, I think, honestly, it's a matter of age-appropriate stuff. So if you start them early, all right, this one, look, you'll get the forks. And I know she's going to get, you know, way too many or way too few forks, and we'll deal with that. That's not that hard. But if we get them used to being a part of the process early on, so we've got, you know, we kind of split it up into different age groups. These can get the forks. These can get the waters, maybe, you know, if they're not going to spill it all over the kitchen. But, we hear people like, well, take it slow, take it easy, help them do it. I just don't have time for that. So what I do is I say, what can you do? You know, and we definitely, they're going to do something. And at the end of the meal, they're going to pick up their plates. If they can use two hands to pick up their plates, they're going to do it. So starting at the age of like four, they're bringing their plates to the sink. You know, they're bringing their cups to the sink. So the earlier we can give them some ownership in the process, the better. And honestly, it makes it to where they understand that this is not just a restaurant. Because otherwise, what happens, and I have to say it sometimes, is mama your waitress? Is she your slave? Because you're treating her that way. So shut it down, you know. Some of that attitude is like you have to teach them how to be served as well and how to receive service, not demand it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Dave, we have about a minute left. The importance of coming together as a family during mealtime. Talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those things, I think, serving them and sitting with them, being together. The research shows it, but I think experience also shows it. That's one of the most important things we can do. And because it's built into the day, we have to eat. It's an excuse for us to say, okay, this is the time we're going to have quality time together. Otherwise, it's very difficult to be intentional about spending quality time together. It just won't happen. So mealtimes are a great excuse to make it happen.
You're 100% right. Thank you so much. Indeed. David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. God bless you guys.
All right. And the important thing also, I think, is to give yourself grace. I was putting my son's football schedule on our calendar, our family calendar, and immediately became overwhelmed on meals for those days.
Yeah.
Give yourself grace. You can do this. We're all in this
together.
I can
tell you, it's a pretty amazing, it's a pretty amazing thing to see all those kids eating all at the same time.
Yeah.
And everybody's having a good time. It's just you got to plan a little ahead of time and just go at it. And it turns out to be a lot of fun. It's been amazing. It's been amazing to witness, you know, food flying everywhere, but it's fun. So.
and giving them certain tasks. I know we had certain tasks as well.
Yeah.
And you appreciate that, especially as you get older.
Yeah.
On those moments and those memories, especially coming together as a family. So wonderful insights from Dave today. Always
Indeed.
Looking forward to speaking with him. All right, Kathleen Higgins joins David and Damian in the Baton Rouge studio.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be an amazing, fun, and entertaining interview. We love Kathleen. She's with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and we're talking youth and the Eucharist. Stay with us. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith, Damian Collado, and in studio, Kathleen Higgins.
Here I am.
Hey. Welcome back.
I love it.
Actually, she's been here all along. She never left the last time she was here.
Yeah, I just have a little cot in the back.
We feed her.
You shove some food under the door. Yeah.
How are you doing? How is things with the youth?
It's great. It is so good. We were just talking, you know, I've been in the office now for a year and at the director since the end of December. And we just hired a new coordinator, Trey, at the beginning of the summer. And we've just spent the summer re-looking at the purpose and the mission of our office.
Yeah.
And we're about to roll out. We got to go through all the channels, but we're about to roll out just some new mission statements.
Great.
And it's incredible.
Kind of overhauling
things. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, it just, you know, just looking at what's the purpose of this diocesan office, and it's changed. And it's changed pre-COVID. Like, people are like, oh, since COVID, everything shut. Nah, it's been,
right.
You know, the culture of our young people has been changing for a while.
Yeah, I don't know how you keep up with that.
Yeah, it's
it's amazing because, I mean, things are changing so rapidly like that, especially with the youth.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're within the years of the Eucharist,
right.
You know, the Eucharistic observance and recognition and appreciation. And you're part of that, too.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing that for the youth as well? Or?
Yeah, we're really looking at, you know, how one of the things that our office is you know, kind of refocusing on is pouring into our parishes and how to support them in their ministry on a parish level, because that's where our kids are at home, you know. And so so really looking at what are some things that they can do within a parish to build. And what's cool about the Eucharistic Revival is, you know, we're going to have all these nights of Eucharistic adoration, Eucharistic processions, and those are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That is not strictly what the Eucharistic Revival is about.
Okay.
It's about like a revival of like knowing what the Eucharist means to us.
Yes.
You know, and in 4 years when this is all over, you know, are we still gonna have an appreciation of the Eucharist?
Yeah.
Are we gonna say, well, that was great? You know,
remember
that one time we paraded the Eucharist around and
the music
it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, for our young people, it's really instilling in them what does the Eucharist mean to you? Mm. If it is the source and summit of our faith, is it the source and summit of your life?
Yeah.
And for many young people, it's not. I would venture to say for many adults, it's not.
Oh, no, you're right.
You know, and so yeah. that, you know, how do we live as Eucharistic people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what does that look like? It looks like, you know, an appreciation of what the Eucharist is in the Mass,
mm-hmm.
and how that is not just an event,
right?
But how we bring Jesus into our daily life, onto the football field, into the classroom, you know, into our you know, our homes. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of our young people, you know, have an experience with Jesus in youth group or at church or maybe at a summer conference,
right?
And they come home and there's nothing to support that,
right?
Even in their own families. It's not that, you know, it's not that your family is bad. It's just not, you know.
But I mean, if you're on a high, let's nurture that, right?
And they have to be a witness to their family. And what is, so how do they then rely on the Eucharist, which, you know, let's be real, the Eucharist is Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. How do you rely on Jesus in the Eucharist to give you strength,
right?
To be the source of your faith, to be, you know, what empowers you to go out into your daily life. And that's a teaching, right? So as adults, our job is to teach our young people. But what's really cool and what we really need to remember is that we can teach them about Jesus all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't know Jesus, right?
Right.
Then it doesn't matter. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a relationship.
Right. And you know, Pope Paul VI said that modern men listens more willingly to witnesses than teachers. And if they do listen to teachers, it's because they were witnesses. And so we have to look at our own life.
Gotcha.
Like I can't sit there and say, hey, young people, this is Jesus in the Eucharist.
Right.
They're going to go, okay, who cares? I don't see it in your life.
Right.
So what does that Eucharistic revival mean to us as adults
100%.
First?
Mm-hmm.
So that then we can say, okay, this, you know, I can tell you all day long, but young people see it. And they smell bologna.
Yeah.
Real,
I like
even
that.
Before you put it in the frying pan. Yeah. But, you know,
I would be ready to answer the why.
Right.
Children or young people today, they don't just take what they hear for granted. I know growing up, in a lot of cases I did, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. mom, dad said this, you believed
it. Yeah.
Now they want to know the why behind everything.
And they can find it. In 2 seconds
on
Google.
That's right.
Right?
So,
whether it's right or wrong.
Exactly.
You know? And so, yeah, we need, and even, and this is what I tell our ministers all the time. I'm like, if you don't know the why, then don't BS it. Like, you know, because again, they're going to go, okay.
Yeah.
And you can really mess with somebody's faith life,
you
know? And what's so cool is when I've been able to say, look, as a teacher, as a minister to a young person, I have no idea what the answer is to that.
Yeah.
I said, so my husband, you know, asked me all the time. He's Methodist, you know, and he's always like, and I'm always like, well, I don't know.
Right.
Let's find out together. Or I'm going to find out for you. And then to come back and say, oh man, look what I read.
And they're like,
they're like, oh, that's awesome. You know, because then they see your hunger for your own faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that it's not something that they have to be perfect at, that they have to know everything.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's you know, when they want to be holy, when they want to be, you know, they want to live a good, faithful life,
mm-hmm.
that's a pressure.
Yeah.
Is, oh, I have to know it all right away. And for an adult to say, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't even know it all.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it is such a, oh, okay.
So what is the plan, or how is it dispersed then, say, from where you guys are to, is it to other youth directors? Is it to the religion teachers?
Right. So we're plugged in on a national level. We have, you know, the national committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our own diocesan committee that's been doing phenomenal things in our diocese already.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really just filtering out. I mean, like the national committee has been just pumping out stuff. You know, this is what you, and what's really cool is all of that is moldable to whatever group you're in, whether mm-hmm. it be, you know, the silver sneakers or, you know, the little bitties. There's something in it for everybody. And so they have people on a national level and on a diocesan level looking at, you know, how do we implement this with our young people, with our older people, with our married couples, with our families, with our single, you know, what does that look like?
How's the communication between the church parishes in the Baton Rouge Diocese in your office?
Yeah, well,
is that really starting to?
Yeah, we've had a couple of parish staff, I forgot the actual title, but it's parish staff days of reflection.
Okay. Okay.
Where entire parish staffs encounter, encouraged by the bishop, have come to be on retreat. Mm-hmm. And it's a day-long retreat put on by our diocesan committee about, look, this is what this is all about. This mm-hmm. is what the revival is all about. It's not it's a 3-year deal.
Yes.
Right.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm
right. Right. Because how many times has it been like, you know, the last
suddenly.
Month and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, this was the year of you know,
exactly.
mercy. Whoopsies. Let's redo. But it's not just a 3-year process. They're saying like, this starts with you as a parish,
yeah.
as a parish staff.
Right.
It starts in your heart.
Yes.
Right. Let's not worry about...
It takes 3 years just
right.
to get that ingrained.
Let's not worry about yeah. the program. It doesn't matter. None
right.
of the programs matter
right.
if it's not a heart thing first.
Well, look, yeah. you got to come back.
Oh,
or
yeah.
actually, we'll put you back in your little room uh-huh. with the food, and then we'll let you out.
Can you order me a pizza?
We'll let you... Yeah. Maybe. We'll let you out real soon, though.
So, fantastic.
Thank you for coming
back.
Oh,
absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I've enjoyed it.
That's always
it's been
a good
wonderful.
Time.
So we yeah. look forward to having you back.
Oh, thanks. I
All
will.
Right. Okay.
All right. Let's wrap up with a prayer. Almighty God, you bless Frederick Osman with gifts of grace as husband and father, educator and defender of the faith, and founder of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. In this way, he spent his life in loving service. Through his example in prayers, may we faithfully follow the path to which you have called us and one day join the saints in praising you forever. Amen.
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 In the name
Amen.
Of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.